Thank you for coming to the podcast. This is Top Turtle MMA Podcast on CageSidePress.com. I'm Danny Gilby-Friedland, joined as always by my co-host Shockwave Dave Tremonte. UFC 299 is finally here. That's right, Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera 2 is going to be headlining an absolute banger of a pay-per-view fight card. We'll be breaking down some of the fights on that card, giving you an underdog and a parlay that we think you should play as part of our favorite segment, Fights, Dogs, and Parlays. And, as always, we're giving you guys interviews you know and love. Kicking off the show this week is Chara Lampros Grigoriou, who is fighting next week at UFC Vegas 88. And a little bit later on in the show, we'll be talking to Yakub Kashuba, who is getting ready to try to repeat as the PFL Europe lightweight champion. But before we get to any of that great content, I do have to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Game Up Hard Hydration. Welcome to the game. Welcome to Game Up Hard Hydration, the new ready-to-drink beverage with sports drink flavor for adult drink fun. But make no mistake, this is no sports drink. It's a refreshing adult beverage with 4.9% alcohol by volume, a special blend of electrolytes, and way more than a hint of flavor. It's a drink that's, well, it's really drinkable. Should you stretch before you drink it? Certainly couldn't hurt, because Game Up is not a hard seltzer. Hard seltzers just didn't work out. Game Up plays entirely in a league of its own, and it comes in all your favorite sports drink flavors. Orange, lemon, lime, fruit, punch, grape, and it hits all the right numbers at 110 calories, 1 gram of carbs. It's gluten-free, and it's got no added sugar. Game Up is for MMA maulers, urban fitness freaks, peak bagging badasses, tough mutter mothers, beer league brawlers, hot yoga hotties, high handicap hackers, committed cornhole huckers, or even just professional poolside posers who game up and get after it. Ask for Game Up wherever it is you buy beer or hard seltzer, and bring it on home for the team. Game Up brings you this episode of the Top Turtle MMA Podcast, and it starts right now.
The hosts are ready. The fighters are ready. Listeners, make some noise if you are ready for Top Turtle MMA with Shockwave and Gumby.
All right, and joining me today is Chara Lampros Grigoriou, who fights Chad and Helliger at UFC Vegas 88. That fight is on March 16th. So, Chara Lampros, I wanted to start here. You know, at one point in time in your career, we were talking about you as a regional guy, 4-3 with your record, you know, like not really on the best run of all time. Fast forward, not really even that long, and we're talking about you about to make your UFC debut. How wild is that for you, being that it was a turnaround, you know, for a lot of people that wouldn't see coming?
Look, it's actually, it's funny because today we had the same conversation at the gym with Ray, and I said to him, I remember myself when I was 4-1 and I was trying to sign with the UFC, and it didn't happen. And then I got two losses back to back. And I think the two losses, it was the best lesson, man, for me, because I knew if I would sign with the UFC when I was 4-1, I don't think I will be in the UFC now. So I like it, and I'm glad that I got the two losses, because it made me like wiser, mentally stronger, and here I am today. I'm in the UFC, and can't wait for my UFC debut.
Absolutely, and I'm gonna ask you a little bit about being mentally tougher there. Was there a time after those two losses where, you know, like maybe self-doubt crept in, or was it just, you know, now I've seen these really hard times, time to get to work, and you were stronger than ever pretty much right away?
Yeah, of course. Actually, my last loss from Christian Rodriguez, I wasn't mentally, I was bad, even in the fight. And I knew that I'm going to lose even days before the fight. So my mentality was bad. So when I got the loss, but then I was very bad, and I was like, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to fight anymore. And then I said, okay, I'm going to take a break, because I was so hungry to sign with the UFC. And then I said, okay, I'm going to take a couple months break, and then I'm going to make one more run for the UFC. And I think it helped, the break that I took. And now I'm mentally, I'm like to the moon, man.
That's awesome. Now, you obviously mentioned the mental side seems to have been the biggest hurdle for you at that time. Do you feel like that was pretty much it, that we just had to get over some sort of mental hurdle, or do you feel like obviously there was some physical things that you needed to fix as well?
Yes, physical too, today I'm in a different level, man. I'm a new fighter, and you will see March 16, you will see even a new version from the Contender Series. All right, I didn't show much in the Contender Series because I finished the fight like real, really fast. I don't know if you're gonna see like much in this fight also. But trust me, man, I'm in a new level, and I trust myself, I trust my preparation, my coaches, my teammates, and I'm going for the knockout, man.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Now, I wanted to ask you too in there because you mentioned the name Ray. You mentioned the name Ray Longo. I've always got to ask when somebody's Ray Longo trained for some Ray Longo stories because, everybody interacts with him a different way, but he's one of the most entertaining guys in the sport right now. So give me a little bit of insight. What's it like working with Ray Longo for you and your personality?
Look, Ray, he's we always having fun with Ray. He makes me laugh all the time, right? And I enjoy train with him. We are very close, especially in a fight camp. Every day we are together. We stay in touch on the phone. Anything I need, and I enjoy it today. Actually, yesterday, he said, "Pablos, I'm so tired. I don't want to see you anymore." I said to him, "You're gonna see me for your rest of your life."
Oh.
And I'm so happy that I have Ray. He's a great mentor. I learned so much from him, and I'm gonna make him proud, man. I'm gonna make him proud, March 16th.
I love that. Now, I wanted to ask you too. You mentioned in that Cameron Smotherman fight, you didn't take too long, right? It was a 60-second fight, and they probably could have stopped it a little earlier if they wanted to. You've now been waiting almost 7 months to make this debut, and I can't imagine you took very much damage in that fight. Was this part of the plan? Did the fight offer just not come fast enough for you? What sort of took us this much time to get you in there?
Look, I wanted to fight earlier, man. After my fight, the Contender Series, I went to Cyprus, okay, for 2 weeks. I came back and I was looking to fight. So I wanted to fight January. I wanted to fight even November in Madison Square Garden. Anyway, it didn't happen. Everything for a reason. But even now, March 16th, when my original opponent got injured, they said, "If you want, you can wait until May to fight him." I'm like, "No way, no way." So I want to fight now, and then I want to fight in May again.
I like that. Now, you mentioned not wanting to wait any longer. So obviously, you don't want to wait after March 16th. But I got to ask, 2 weeks after that, there's a fight card basically in your backyard. Was it a little bit of a bummer that you didn't get the Atlantic City card, that you didn't get to fight close to home?
Yeah, you know what? I wanted to, but when my first opponent pulled out, they said they're gonna find the replacement, even either March 16 or Atlantic City. And I said to my manager, "You know what? I don't really care. I think it's better for me to fight at the Apex for my first fight, for my UFC fight, because I wanna see how it is. I want to get used to it first. Yes, I fought in the Contender Series, but now it's a UFC fight. So I don't want to go in a big arena and have the pressure of the crowd. You know what I mean? So I don't care. Give me fights, and I don't care where it is."
Well, I like that. I like the idea of easing in there. So, the person you're going to quote unquote ease it in there on is Chad Anheliger, who's a guy who he likes to throw hands, right? And that's probably the most exciting part of this matchup. So when they did come to you and said, this is the replacement, this is the guy we want to put in there for you, what did you think of Chad Anheliger and the stylistic matchup that he brings?
Look, I said yes right away. Actually, Chad Arhelliger was the third option. And I said yes to everybody because I wanted to fight. So, yes, I like the matchup because I know that he's tough. He likes to throw. But everybody likes to throw. And until they find somebody who throws more and harder. So I don't know if Chad is he's gonna stay in front of me. If he wants, he can try. But look, I'm so confident in everywhere, man. Wrestling, grappling, striking. So I like him because he's tough. But I don't know if he's tough enough for me.
All right. Well, you pretty much led me right to my final question. I love to end these things by asking for a prediction. So how's this one go down March 16th?
I'm going to go for a knockout for sure. I always go for a knockout. Look, if there are only two options, if I don't finish him, and I think I'm going to finish him, especially in the first round, I'm going to dominate the whole fight. There is no other option. So, yeah.
I love it. And you heard it here first, folks. This has been Chara Lampros Gregoriou, who fights Chad Anhelicker at UFC Vegas 88. Once again, that fight, March 16th. Chara Lampros, thank you so much for the time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, we have enjoyed that interview with Chara Lampros Gregoriou. I, once again, am Dan. You're going to be freely joined now by my co-host, Shockwave Dave Tremonte. Dave, UFC 299 this weekend. We obviously got to get right into the action. The card is loaded, not just with great fights, not just with a rematch at the top that people have been waiting for, but also a whole bunch of fights that I'm particularly pumped about because they are sort of a changing of the guards fight. They're the, you know, wily veteran defending their spot in the top five or the top 10 up against a hot new up and comer. Which of these fights are you perhaps the most excited for?
You know, I gotta tell you, I'm really just excited for the performers because you never know, like everyone was hating on last week's fight card and we got a ton of awesome fights. So it's kind of like getting in a chemistry lab. You don't really know what's going to mix with what. I could say on paper that Kevin Holland versus Michael Venom Page is a fire matchup, but I don't necessarily know it will be. It could be like a boar fest for all we know, but I'm excited about the fact that Michael Venom Page is fighting in the UFC. I'm excited to see Dustin Poirier. I'm excited to see Sean O'Malley try to defend his title. I'm excited to see Curtis Blaydes on the prelims, and I'm definitely excited just to see if Michael Pereira does anything silly. So I'm excited for a lot of the performers, even just seeing RDA. I know he's 17 years past his prime. This fight card to me is better than 300 just because of the name brand value.
Yeah, and to your point, like I think you named a bunch of the guys who are towards the top of the division, right? The RDAs and the Curtis Blaydes. I'm equally as excited for the guys fighting them, right? The Matthews Gamrots and the Jelton Almeidas of the world, because those are my guys that I'm interested if we'll be talking about, you know, 5 to 10 years from now, them passing off the torch, because I think they could be those torchbearers for the near future. You know, Gamrot showed some really good stuff in some recent fights. You know, obviously we've seen nothing but absolutely killer performances from Almeida so far. So yeah, I'm pumped to see where they go.
Yep, agreed completely. And I'll tell you where we're going, and that's to a breakdown of that said fight card for UFC 299. We'll do fights, dogs, and parlays, give you a couple of fights we like, dogs to play, parlays to play. Let's get into it. But I'm wondering if anyone sponsors this edition of Fights, Dogs, and Parlays.
Absolutely. Fights, Dogs, and Parlays brought to you by Game Up Hard Hydration. Welcome to the game. Welcome to Game Up Hard Hydration, the new ready-to-drink beverage with sports drink flavor for adult drink fun. But make no mistake, it's no sports drink. It's a refreshing adult beverage with 4.9% alcohol by volume and a special blend of electrolytes, as well as way more than a hint of flavor. And it comes in all your favorite sports drink flavors, orange, lemon, lime, fruit punch, and grape, and hits all the right numbers at 110 calories, 1 gram of carbs. It's gluten-free, and it's got no added sugar. Ask for Game Up wherever it is you buy beer or hard seltzer and bring it on home for the team.
All right. So we have Sean O'Malley, a -245 favorite in his first title defense against Chito Vera, +200 dog for the bantamweight title. O'Malley coming off a big win over Aljamain Sterling. It was surprising to me. It was definitive. It was a second round TKO victory. and I'll be facing Chito Vera, who's been at the top of the division for the last couple of years. Chito Vera is coming off a win over Pedro Munhoz. He had lost to Corey Sandhagen in a split decision before that. And before the Sandhagen loss, he had reeled off a 4-fight win streak, including wins over Rob Font, Frankie Edgar, Dominic Cruz. So he is 4-1 in his last 5, but he finds himself a +200 dog here. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going with Sean O'Malley because obviously, you know, widely on people's minds is the Chito Vera versus Sean O'Malley fight the first time. Obviously, you know, there were weird circumstances in there where, you know, Sean O'Malley busted his leg early on in that fight. And some people are saying, you know, that's the fight Chito brings to him. He comes with all kinds of different avenues. But for me, the reason I love Sean O'Malley in this fight is because the Sean O'Malley we saw then is not the Sean O'Malley we see right now. Sean O'Malley has completely changed the way he strikes. Whether or not you thought he was great when he started or not, I think he has developed into an absolutely untouchable kind of striker. The way he cuts angles, the way he draws out people's strikes, you know, like he baited Aljamain Sterling to overextend himself there so that he could crack him. I just really think he is a new level of striking versus what we're seeing from Chito Vera, which don't get me wrong, is definitely better than we saw him at the beginning of his career or even the last time he fought Sean O'Malley. But he definitely didn't have the striking to beat a guy like Corey Sandhagen. And I think that's a problem, especially when you factor in the power of Sean O'Malley. So, yeah, I'm going with O'Malley here.
All right. I also am going to go with O'Malley, but gosh, am I rooting for Chito Vera to pull it off. I do find Chito Vera to be the better all-around MMA fighter. Of course, I think O'Malley has the advantage in striking and definitely with like reach and just, yeah, just all around like power too. So I think O'Malley is going to win, but I do want to put, you know, if you're a betting man, I don't know what your risk factor is, your appetite for risk, but $20 on Chito Vera, I don't think it's the worst bet you'll make this calendar year. I'm still not fully sold on O'Malley overall. And I want to see him really fully tested and in championship rounds too. I also want to see how his gas tank will hold up in those championship fights. That all being said, we'll move on then to another exciting fight, which is Benoit Saint-Denis, a -225 favorite to the, at this point, veteran, almost near, he's not a legend, but he's certainly at the top of people's minds for favorite fighters. And he's just been around for so damn long, and it's Dustin Poirier, who's now a +180 dog. Benoit Saint-Denis, since debuting in the UFC and losing to Easy Dos Santos, he is 5-0 since that time. So 5-1 total in the UFC with 2 submission wins, 3 KO, TKO wins. He's been a finishing machine, and fighting Poirier, you know, in the twilight of his career and coming off a loss to Justin Gaethje, who you got here?
So first of all, you have to separate this fight out for me in terms of who do you think is going to win this fight and who is it reasonable to bet on? Because in my mind, I think Benoit Saint-Denis is going to win this fight. I think he's the real deal. I think he's the up and comer who is going to, you know, sort of disrupt this top five in the way we've been waiting for somebody to disrupt this top five. His wrestling is really solid. As you mentioned, he's got a great submission game. You know, he knocked out Matt Frivola pretty damn easily in that fight. So like, I love everything about Benoit Saint-Denis. I think he's the real deal. With that being said, you would be negligent to be putting money on Benoit Saint-Denis at -225 based on his resume and who he is fighting in this fight, because this is a massive step up for Benoit Saint-Denis. I think the eye test has told me that Benoit Saint-Denis has the skills to fight a guy like Dustin Poirier, but we don't really know until we've seen him fight a guy like Dustin Poirier. And this fight opened at like -135 for Benoit Saint-Denis. And I said to myself, oh man, they're going to bet him into being an underdog and I'm going to love me some Benoit Saint-Denis at plus money. And it's done the exact opposite. It has gone in the opposite direction. And now Benoit Saint-Denis is one of the more massive favorites on this card. And for me, I just can't get around to that. So I'm going to say I'm going to pick Benoit Saint-Denis. But if you're a betting man, as you've sort of alluded to with the Chito Vera pick, I don't think you can do anything but throw, you know, maybe some pizza money down on Dustin Poirier.
I think that's really well said. I really like the phrase pizza money. And if that's what you're betting with, and it's no big deal if you lose it, I think you can find worse dogs than Dustin Poirier, especially just going off like the gritty kind of a veteran finds a way to win type, you know, thought. We'll move on then. And Jack Magdalena has looked nothing short of impressive since debuting in the UFC. He hasn't lost yet. In the UFC, he's 7-0. He's coming off a split decision win over Kevin Holland. and he is the minus 165 favorite to Gilbert frickin' Burns. Burns, who has been in some awesome fights in his career, obviously him going to war with Khamzat Chimaev back in April of 2022 is something that'll never be forgotten. One of my favorite fights of all time. Since that time, he's 2-1, wins over Neil Magny and Jorge Masvidal, but coming off a unanimous decision loss to Belal Muhammad back in May of 2023. So almost a full year since we've seen old Gilbert Burns, and he's the plus 135 dog here. Who you got?
So first of all, I'm going to go with Jack Della Maddalena, and I do want to dispute that split decision, because that is one of the most ridiculous scorecards for somebody to give those first two rounds to Kevin Holland. In my opinion, Kevin Holland maybe won the second, and no way, shape, or form won the first or the third against Jack Della Maddalena. So that was there's my rebuff of that real quick. And I'm going to go with Jack Della Maddalena just because historically, if we look at Gilbert Burns, don't get me wrong, his grappling game is phenomenal. It's superb. It's excellent. But in general, in any time he's fought a guy who can blast him on the feet like we know Jack Della Maddalena can, it has been troublesome for him, right? Like, the fights where he has fared the best are ones where he himself can use his grappling when he needs to, but has a striking type advantage, right? We saw it in the Kamaru Usman fight, right? Like, when he's got to let his hands go a little bit, it looked like he was having success against Usman early in that fight. Then obviously Usman with the big power shut his lights off. And that's what worries me about Gilbert Burns. He's not the biggest welterweight in the world, and some of these welterweights have the power to shut him off. I think Jack Della Maddalena has got the chance to shut those lights off. I'm going JDM here.
I like it. Our actual official dog of the week is Song Yadong, a plus 110, and taking on former champ Piotr Jan.
Yeah, so Piotr Jan is just on a downslide right now, and I think it's wise to get in before he's slid all the way off, because he's 0-3 here in his last three fights. Song Yadong is looking better every single time he takes to the cage. I think we're seeing improvements out of him. It's still what's really still a pretty young age, right? Like, he's the same age as Ian Garry. Everybody's talking about Ian Garry being the young up-and-comer. Song Yadong keeps getting better every single time out. I'm more impressed with his wrestling. I'm more impressed with his hands. I really think as long as he stuffs the takedowns on here on Piotr Jan, I think the cardio could take over late in the game. And I also think with Piotr Jan being kind of a notoriously slow starter, Song Yadong can really take it to him early in the fight. So yeah, give me Song Yadong here at underdog money.
All right. Our official parlay to play is Michael Pereira, a minus 140 favorite. Pair him together with Macy Barber, a minus 200 favorite. Get you plus 157 odds. Let's hear it.
So I like Michael Pereira for all the reasons you mentioned before. He's kind of a little nuts, but I will also say this. When he moved up to 185 pounds and did what he did to Andre Petrosky, my goodness, was I like, this is not just a fun guy anymore. This is a guy we got to keep an eye on. And to see him at only negative 140 against a guy like Michael Olajuwon, who I think is kind of hittable and definitely there to be taken down, I really think Michel Pereira is just going to have the easiest kind of night in the cage. And for me, Macy Barber, I've always kind of been a hater on Macy Barber. I'll be the first one to admit that. But I think this fight against Caitlin Sermonara, who you might know as Caitlin Chookagian, is just the right kind of matchup for it. Barber has looked really good in her last couple of fights. She's looking more and more physical every single time out there. And Sermonara is a fighter who sometimes gets stuck on her back and getting a little bit comfortable there. So I think that's the perfect kind of matchup for Macy Barber to kind of take over with her physicality. So we're going to put those two together and get plus 157.
Boom. That wraps up this edition of Fights, Dogs, and Parlays. Let us know if we did you right or did you dirty come fight night. We think we're pretty good at what we do, but we're always open to feedback. If you think we did you wrong, let us know at Top Turtle MMA on the social media. Gumby, we're having a party here. Let's not let it stop. What should we do next?
We're going to transition now to my interview with PFL Europe lightweight champion Jakub Kaszuba, who is getting ready for his second run through the PFL tournament. And we're going to get you that interview right now. All right, and joining me today is Jakub Kaszuba, who fights Kane Musa at PFL Europe 1. That fight is on March 7th. So, Jakub, I wanted to start by talking about your first season on PFL Europe, because not only did you compete in it, 3-0, win the championship, you got the belt to go with it. What did it feel like getting that first season under your belt, and has it kind of sunk in, that status of champion?
How did it feel? I couldn't even process the victory and enjoy it, just because, you know, I fought December 8th and now I'm marching March 7th, right? So that's like a 3-month turnaround. It honestly feels like a fourth fight of the season, right? But yeah, so it was just like, okay, we're going back to the office, we're going back to training. So I didn't really have really time to really sit down and enjoy. I had a nice little few week vacation after the fight, so that was nice. But other than that, it was straight back to the training.
So with your 3 week vacation, did you get to go somewhere nice? Did you take a little bit of the winnings and splurge a little bit?
I actually paid with it with my job money. I used the funds. I'm sorry, get out of here. I actually used the funds to buy a condo, but I used my my actual job money to go on a cruise that we planned in the beginning of last year. We went with my sister and her 7 kids and my wife. And we just went to the Bahamas, NASA, nothing special, pretty chill. But it was nice because on the cruise ship, you know, I was tearing up the buffet. I was really making them suffer the consequences of my weight cutting of half of last year.
And is that usually what you do in between fights? Because I know obviously PFL makes it really hard to balloon up in between your fights or to splurge the day after. You know, it's almost right back in the weight cutting. Did you used to be a guy who kind of went out and ate a little bit more?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm still that guy. I mean, after the Dublin fight, I got up to 195. So that's when Dan Horty wrote to me. He was like, it was January 8th or 9th. He wrote to me. He was like, hey, March 7th fight. I'm like, are you asking me? Are you telling me? I'm like, okay. I stepped in the scale. I was 195 pounds, and I was eating Cheetos at the time. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna put those guys away. But yeah, I'm good on weight. I mean, this morning I was 170, so we're a week out, so that's perfect. You know, that's easy cheesy lemon squeezy.
That's awesome to hear. Now I gotta ask too, because I love when fighters tell me that they're secret fatties in the off season, because I'm fatty all year round. So you gotta tell me, how do you get it done when you decide, you know, it's deciding the time to splurge a little bit? You're gonna go eat. Is it snack food? Is it Cheetos? Or are you like, you know, a big steak and a whiskey kind of guy?
I don't drink no more, just because as a pro athlete, you can calorie wise you can either drink or you can eat, so I'd rather have like 2 burgers and 2 cakes, you know. That's where I but yeah, I love burgers, I love pizza. Yeah, I'm more of like a hearty type of guy with food. Snack food is nice, you know, maybe a cookie here and there, but I want a burger. I want a pizza. That's what I want. That's what I'm coming for.
I love it. Well, you're back into fight camp now. You're back into losing weight. So let's talk a little bit about going back into another season of PFL Europe, because, you know, coming off of PFL Europe the first time, there is a nice prize to it, but there's also kind of a promise or kind of a thought of maybe, you know, you win that season, you wind up in the PFL regular season, you know, the global one.
Yeah.
Were you wanting another season in Europe? Were you wanting to maybe make that move over? What was sort of your thought when they came to you and said, you know, let's do Europe again?
Well, at first I wanted to go to the $1 million tournament because I thought I was going to win it with the current PFL roster that I thought was going to be there, right? So I was very excited for that. But then they brought the Belter guys in, right? And that's a whole different, in my point of view, level of competition. So that wasn't 100% I'm going to win this tournament anymore, right? So I'm glad I'm going back to Europe. I'm going to get more experience. And by next year, I'll be ready for those Bellator guys, you know. And I can win another 100 grand, get another investment property for retirement. And I like it. It's going according to plan. So with everything that turned out and happened, I'm happy with going back to Europe.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, I also wanted to ask about just the slog of the PFL season, because you mentioned quick turnaround between the first and second season. But in between fights, we're not talking about a lot of time here, right? Like, some guys like to take a break, like to heal up injuries, you know, like even if it's something small. For you personally, what was that first season like on your body, taking 3 fights in that short period of time with kind of no wiggle room for your fight days?
It's nice and it sucks, right? It's hard with the weight cut because you got to eat real, real healthy. By the last fight, it was pretty grueling with the weight cut. I was like, damn, I don't want to do this again. You know, it kind of sucked. And I didn't have any injuries from the first 2 fights, which was nice, right? After this last one, I had a... Yeah, I had to take pretty much three and a half weeks off. I couldn't train. So that's another factor, right? So what I like about the PFL format as all as in the whole is it really produces a consistent athlete, right? Because you got to know how to train, you got to know how to eat, you got to be consistent. You can't just fight one twice a year and do one big weight cut, and you know, you can't be a weight bully, which is nice. Mm-hmm. It really forces you to kind of you can't really blow up that much, right? I blew up to 195, but I was in the best shape of my life, and I lost it in you know, it was mostly bloating, right? Lost it pretty easily, but yeah, it's definitely, you got to carry yourself very well to continue to fight, you know, 2 to 3 months turnaround, right?
That makes a lot of sense. Now, I wanted to also ask you, you know, before we get to talking about this fight with Kay Musa, because that's what everybody came here for. I love hearing stories about how people get their nicknames. And, you know, there's seven hitmen out there and everybody's Pitbull and like everybody's got the same nickname. There's only one auditor. There's only one auditor out there. I got to know, how did you wind up with the name The Auditor, and why is it stuck as your fight nickname?
Well, at first I was the boar, right? Because in Poland, I'm Polish, so our top predator is the boar. So when you see a boar in the forest, you're like, oh shit, you know, I might die. Because boars are big and scary in Poland, but a lot of Americans and Floridians didn't, you know, boars here in Florida are kind of a pest.
Yeah.
They're little pigs that are just, you know, not scary at all. And, you know, I'm an auditor for the state of Florida. I'm a CPA. That's my day job, right? Mm-hmm. And people are just like, man, you know, the auditor, that's pretty cool. You know, just came up in one of the conversations. And it was right around that time that movie with Ben Affleck came out. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, and everyone enjoyed that movie, right? It was like the auditor. He was like a hitman and an auditor. So, yeah, that's sort of how it came to be. And I started hearing it more and more. And I was like, you know what? That sounds original, you know? I like it, and a lot of people really, really like it. Even the Polish ones, they prefer the auditor to the boar.
I dig it as well. So now let's talk a little bit about this fight with Kay Musa. Obviously, you know, he's a guy who brings kind of an exciting fight style. You know, you mentioned the high level of Bellator. He himself is a Bellator vet. So, like, what did you think when they came to you with the name Kay Musa, and like, what did you think about, you know, the stylistic matchup?
He's small and he's old, so I think it's gotta be my hardest fight of the tourney. I don't think so. I fought way harder guys, I believe. So I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna do my job, and I'm gonna audit. He's gonna get audited. I'm gonna bring him back to reality.
Well, I usually like to end these things. You seem to almost be leaning to telling me anyway, so I'll get the question in there before you do. I love to end these things with a prediction. Tell me how this one ends on March 7th when it goes down.
I'll finish him in the second round.
Got anything special for me? Just finish.
Just finish. I mean, I'm so good everywhere. I'm always see where he struggles, right? And that will become as the fight goes on. But I believe I'm better in everything, from striking to wrestling to everything. I'm a new level fighter. He's the old guard. So thank you for his time, but it's time for the new.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. This is then Jakub Kaszuba, who fights Kay Musa, PFL Europe 1. That fight once again, March 7th. Jakub, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for your time. It was great.
And that's going to do it for another episode of the Top Turtle MMA Podcast. We want to thank you, the fans, for tuning in each and every week. We would not have a show without you guys. We also want to thank our sponsor, Game Up Hard Hydration, and remind you guys that you can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Top Turtle MMA in both of those locations. And until next week, I'm Danny Cubby Freeland. He's Shockwave Dave Tremonte. And we'll catch you then.